Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
And we thank God for that wonderful prayer that we can rely upon that covers everything. It talks about who our God is and how we are to worship him, how we are to rely upon him for our daily bread, how we are to seek forgiveness and how we are to seek not pursuing evil and to keep us safe from that and to remind us that it is God above all. A couple of announcements for this week. We've got our Saturday jumble sale next weekend. So if you're looking for something to buy a bargain, come along to the Humble Jumble Shed here in Bunbury next Saturday morning between 9 and 12. And next Sunday, our youth team is going to be doing morning tea for us here in Bunbury. So bring along a couple of coins to buy some morning tea, because I think they're doing it as a fundraiser to raise money for the shed and all the youth programs that are happening. So, and I believe the young people will be serving it to you. So come along and be served by them as well. The last couple of weeks, we've also in the Salvation Army been having a time of intense prayer, and the territorial prayer focus that we've been looking at is themed, God is seen when we are one. And it's been a call for salvos to be united like never before in order for others to see God in us. A bit like that song we sang, they will know we are Christians by our love. The call of the Salvation Army has been that if we are united and we are one in the Spirit, one in our mission, then God will shine through us to those in our community. It's a call to put aside our differences and focus on the commonality that we have in one vision and one mission, and ultimately because we have belief in one God. I actually wonder what the world thinks when they see the church today. What do they see when they look at Christians throughout the world and the church that we represent? And specifically, what do people see when they look at the Salvation Army Church? Do they see people who are united in love and compassion? Or do they see something else? Do they see people who reflect who God is? Or are we reflecting the very same things that the world is reflecting? And making it even more personal, what do others see when they look at me and when they look at you as Christians? Do they see someone who is like Christ? Or do they just see anybody, a person just like anybody else? The passage that I've looked at today is from the book of John. And John was one of Jesus' very close disciples. And he's actually, the passage that we're going to read is actually Jesus' words. And it's the words of Jesus just before he's about to die. And just before he's been hanging out with his friends, his 12 disciples, his followers. And he's been sharing with them and teaching them about what's going to happen when he dies and what's going to happen afterwards, and talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus reminds the disciples that life may be difficult, but he's given them a peace that the world cannot give. And John 16:33 says in the words of Jesus, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So Jesus has had this discussion, and these are the words that he leaves his disciples with. And at this point, we start chapter 17, which we're going to look at today. And he's starting to, Jesus then turns from his conversation that he has with his friends to a prayer that he is speaking to his Father in heaven, to God. So the whole of chapter 17 is this prayer conversation between Jesus and his Father. We're not going to look at the whole chapter, so you can breathe a sigh of relief because we're not going to read it all and look at it all. We're only going to look at about 6 or 7 verses today. But Jesus is first in that very few verses, first few verses, he's praying for himself and he's talking to God about being glorified and the work that God is going to do in him. And then he prays for his immediate disciples, these 12 people that he's been hung out with for 3 years, and he's intensely given his life to them and taught them, and he's giving them to God and saying, God, I want to pray for these people. You know, life will get difficult, and I don't want them to be tempted by evil, and I'm praying for them because I want you to work through them. And then from verse 20, which is where we're going to pick up today, Jesus is praying for all those who will become followers because of what these friends of his are doing and the teaching and the message they're going to have. So we're going to start from this verse today. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to look at John chapter 17, and we're going to start at verse 20, where Jesus is having this conversation with God. And I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, so it might be slightly different if you've got a different version. It says, I am praying, this is Jesus speaking, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me. Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Then your love for me will be in them, and I will be in them. These key phrases talking about, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, so they may be one as we are one. They are one. Jesus and God are the same. They are one in heart, in love, one in speech. They speak the same message, one in mouth, one in speech, one in mind. Are we like that? Do we have the same heart? Are we one in heart as Christians in love? Are we one in what we speak? Are we one in mind in what we think? Do we all have one mission as God and Jesus did? We have one vision in the Salvation Army. Are we all part of that one vision? Are we all part of the one body we talked about in that song? We are one in the body. We are one church. We're all believing in one God. We all have that one Spirit, that Holy Spirit. And do we all have one goal to bring glory to God? So Jesus and the Father, we see in this passage, are one. They're one and the same. One in nature. They're one in essence. One in design. One in operation. Their attributes are the same. They're one in attributes. Their properties, their power and glory is one. They're even considered co-equal in power and glory. So if we are to be one, as they are one, do we consider each person in the church to be co-equal in power and glory? Do we think that we are all part of the one body, having the one Spirit, the same heart and the same mind? Verse 22 says that Jesus has given us the same glory. We've been given the same gift that was given to Jesus from God. A great Bible commentator called Warren Wiersbe says, all true believers have God's glory within. No matter what they may look like on the outside, Christian harmony is not based on the externals of the flesh, but the internals and eternals of the Spirit in the inner person. He further says, we must look beyond the elements of our first birth like race, colour and our abilities, and build our fellowship on the essentials of our new birth. Powerful words. We're not to see each other from the external differences that we have, but by the internals and the eternity of the Holy Spirit that unites us and makes us all one. When the church presents one key message of truth, the world may accept it. When the world sees us as one, it's a powerful witness. We may, even in the wider church, have different denominational differences and differences in how we worship, differences in how we come together, even slight things that we might have in doctrines. But we all ultimately belong to the one true God. We all believe in Christ. We all believe in his death and resurrection. We all believe in the hope to come. The one Spirit unites us all. And the best witness we can show is to be united by those commonalities throughout the church. Instead of being divided by our differences, let us be known for the common united front and spirit that we have. Verse 25, Jesus says, "Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them." So Jesus was the one standing in the gap, talking to the Father, but praying for us in the world. Jesus showed who God was, and he was the image in Jesus. The world knew who God was because they saw Jesus here on earth in his time. So us as Christians, and we carry Christ in us now, we are the image of what God will look like to those in our communities, in our families, in our workplaces. We are the image of God that people will see. We will stand in the gap. Because Jesus showed through his love that he was given from his Father and that he gave out to his followers. Jesus' role was to show who God was to the people of that time. And our role as Christians is to also show who God is to the people that we encounter. Those that don't know God will only see God through the Christian people. They will have their opinion and their view and their understanding of God by watching what Christian people are like. We will be the lens in which they will see who God is. So will we be showing them that unitedness, that love, that compassion, that unity? Or will they be seeing hatred and judgment and division? Will they see people who are doing their own thing? Or they see people who have a common goal to love God and love other people? Will they want to follow God if they see us as the example? What they see in us is what they will believe about who God is. If we are showing them that we are kind and loving and taking care of people like a shepherd, that will be their view of who God is. If we're showing that we are harsh and telling people off when they're wrong, that will be their view of who God is too. Which of these images of God would people want to be in relationship with? The disciples of Jesus did not always show behavior that was considered godly. They were humans. They stuffed up. They were selfish. They were competitive. They were prideful. And no doubt these behaviours we still exhibit as Christians today. The disciples were often complaining, arguing, resentful, judging, intolerant, impatient and grumpy, just as we can be now. So how do we change this? How do we change how we look about the people in the world who don't know who God is? How do we go about changing who we are? Well, not who we are, but changing how we will reflect who God is. Because that's ultimately, we want them to see who God is through our behaviours and through through our actions and through our words? Do we just need to work harder as a church? Do we need to work harder as a Salvation Army? Do we need to be better Christians? Do we just fake it till we make it? In my study, I started thinking, my goodness, we just got to work harder. This is what we got to do. We just got to be better. We just got to be more united. We've got to get along better. And I was motivated in one sense, but I was downcast in another because I thought, I can't do this on my own. I can't make myself better. I've been trying for over 40 years. And something hit me in my study, and it wasn't until, you know, in the last part of your reading that you get these revelations, and something jumped out at me at one of the commentaries I was reading. And it pointed out that this passage that we read today in chapter 17, and it said that it's a prayer that Jesus was speaking to his Father God. And I went, yeah, I know that. I know it's a prayer. I told you at the beginning that this is a prayer that Jesus is having with his Father. But if you think about this more intently, this passage is not a conversation that Jesus is having with his friends, with his disciples. He's changed from that. He did that in the prior chapters. But chapter 17, he stops his conversation with the disciples and he changes to a conversation with his Father in heaven. So he's not telling his disciples, you need to be more godlike. He's praying to the Father to say, make them more godlike. And that was a revelation for me, because it wasn't a conversation of Jesus saying to me, you need to be more godlike. This was knowing that Jesus is talking to the Father, the God in heaven, praying for us to be more godlike. Do you know Jesus is praying for you? That's a revelation in itself, that Jesus is praying for us. He did back then, but he still today speaks to the Father on our behalf. He's praying for us to be one. He's praying for us to be united. He's praying for us to show God to a community that needs to see who he is. That's amazing. I don't know for you, this was really mind-blowing. He's speaking to the Father on our behalf. This is a prayer that Jesus is praying to God for us. Jesus is praying for his friends at that time, but he's praying for all future believers. That includes us. Jesus is entrusting the future of the faith community into God's trust. He's not saying that the work of the community is what's going to gain them unity. He's saying, God, I trust you to do that. He's not speaking the words to the believers like, you need to be more united, or you need to be one because God and me are one, so you need to be one. Jesus is asking God the Father to make us one. These words of Jesus are for us to hear and realize that God is the one who can make us one. It's a model of who we are to turn to and who we can rely upon. Jesus knows that God can do these things, and he's using it as an example for us to know who to turn to. As Jesus entrusts the future of the family community into the hands of God, we too are meant to follow this example by trusting our future into the hands of God. The future of the church is not left dependent on our work, thank goodness, because we would fail every time. The future of the church rests within the capability of God, and Jesus is praying for that still today. We're not able to do this in our own strength. We need to trust our future with a God who has already promised his love towards all people. That is why this is a territorial prayer focus. It's not a territorial work focus. It's not about banging on that we need to work harder to be one, to be more united, to show more love to people. This is a prayer focus that we are asking God to make us one. It is our prayer that God does this in our church, in our Salvation Army. Make us one. Make us follow the one mission that God has given us. Father, help us to be united. Help us to love. Help us to do these things. It is our prayer that God will be seen when we are one. Because when God does that in us, people will see God. Just as Jesus prayed to the Father to make all believers one, we are to pray to the Father to make us one. One in heart, in love, one in mission, one in vision, one in mind and voice, and having that one goal to bring glory to God and to bring others to know Him. Is this your prayer too? The territorial leaders of Australia and Salvation Army have stated, "We believe in the power of prayer and in a great God who honours the prayers of His people. With this in mind, we are calling the Salvation Army Australia to prayer. The emphasis we want to place on this season of prayer is that we as an army will be a united movement, a unified movement, working in harmony as we seek to serve God's purposes. And that because of our oneness with the Father and our unities as believers, others will see God in and through us. That others will see God in and through us. That is my prayer. I want people to see God through the Salvation Army. Sometimes they've seen us for our good works and for the things that we do and the activities that we have. But my greatest prayer is that they would see God at work, that they would come to know God because of who we are, how we treat them, the message that we give, which is God's message. That is my prayer for myself and for the Salvation Army. A couple of Salvationists have written a song for today, well, for this season of prayer. And the song is called "See Your Son." And we're going to get the singers up to sing in a moment. And the chorus says, "Oh Father, make us one, so the world will see your Son." That is the prayer behind this focus. This is the prayer of the Salvation Army. And the bridge says, "With holy fire, your love inspires us to be like you, to honour you with hearts ablaze with truth and grace. May we glorify your name." That holy fire is the Holy Spirit. It's only through God's presence, His Spirit, that His love, His truth and grace will change us to be like Him. Not through our own efforts, but God's Spirit working in us. So as you listen to this song, I pray that this would be your heart's desire to see the Salvation Army become more united and truly show who God is to those who desperately need to see a loving, gracious God who cares for them and wants to be in relationship with them too, so that they can be one with God. Let us take this time of prayer to sing this song, "See Your Son," that our lives would show who God is to our world.